All right, here we are. This is the time, every single service, we read from the Bible. Probably something that you noticed in all of those testimonies of those stories of amazing people whose lives have been changed. One common thing that kept on coming up was the Bible and reading the Bible. And this very day, we're celebrating Easter, the day when we celebrate Jesus being brought back to life. And so we're going to spend some time in the Bible, looking at that very story. And so if you are someone who has brought a Bible with you, now's your time to get it out. If it's you haven't, if you've got it on your phone, get it on your phone. If you haven't got any of those and you're brand new and you're like, oh no, don't worry, the words will come up on the screen as well. But where we're going to is John 20. And this is a book in the Bible by a guy called John who writes another account of Jesus' life. And this is the very end of that account. And what we are about to read, what I want to highlight from this text is two movements or two changes that happen as a result of Jesus being brought back to life this Easter day. And those two things are moving from despair to hope and from death to life. Despair to hope, death to life. So that's what we're going to be digging into for the next few minutes. So if you're with me, we're going to read from John 20, verse 1, all the way through to 11. So I'm just going to pray for us before we go into this, because we believe that God speaks to us through his Bible. We believe that God will speak to us now. And so, Father God, as we read your word, we pray that you will speak to us, whether we're brand new to faith and whether it's not even on our radar at all or whether we've been a Christian for a really long time. I pray, God, that by your Spirit you'll speak to us. I pray, God, that there'll be something new and fresh from the story of your resurrection that would touch our lives. I pray that we would encounter a transformational moment right now as we read your word. And we pray that in your name. Amen. Okay, here we go. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon and Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. That's John, by the way, bit of a brag. And said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter, again, another brag, and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Brackets, and this is a spoiler alert, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. The start of this passage is all about despair. We see a group of people, for those that don't know, that have been following Jesus for a number of years. They'd seen amazing things. They'd seen miracles and healing. They'd seen radical teaching that spoke to people that were both kind of the elite, but also the lowly, and said, "You are welcome here in a new kingdom, a kingdom that is defined by love, by joy, by peace, by inclusion for every single person." He said, "Actually, if you come and follow me and believe in me, I'm going to give you life and life to the full." And these people, Jesus' disciples, had followed him for so many years, and it was building up to this moment where, oh, finally, this is our Messiah, this is the one who's going to save us, who's going to bring us out of a sense of captivity, and it's going to put us at the top. We're going to be the holy ones, the chosen ones. This is the moment right now that we have been living and waiting for, is here. And then what happens? Jesus gets arrested unfairly, gets taken to the cross, and it's still disciples thinking, oh my goodness, this ain't looking good, but he's Jesus, he's the Son of God, he is God in human form. Surely something good's going to happen now. It's not too late. And they see him, watch him die a humiliating death on a cross. This isn't the story that they're expecting. This isn't the end, surely. This is Jesus, the guy that we follow who can do incredible things. Surely this isn't the end. Surely, Jesus, you could take yourself down from that cross. You're our Savior, you're our King. What's going on? And we can place ourselves in that story and maybe place ourselves in Mary's story. If you think about Mary, not only has she witnessed all of these amazing things that Jesus has done, but she's also a woman who wasn't valued as highly in society at that time as men, but still had been included within his gang. That she there, it says in Luke 8, that she was healed from seven demons. So you think, oh my goodness, she's experienced the life that Jesus brings. And she's there crying, weeping. She's there experiencing deep, deep despair. What would she be thinking in that moment? And if we stop there, you think, is this good news? This Christian faith, is this good following Jesus? Does this turn out well? And one thing that we do know is that the Bible doesn't shy away from despair. The Bible doesn't shy away from feelings of brokenness or hurt. It doesn't shy away from disappointment. Actually, where are you at right now? Could you literally place yourself in Mary's situation? Think, I put my hope in X, Y, Z, whatever it is, a job, a person, a relationship, a friend, and they've let me down. Have you pursued kind of other ways of life that you're looking for to find meaning and find love, acceptance, looking to find a sense of identity, and it's not quite working out how you expected it to? If we place ourselves into this story, what happens next, which seems so familiar to so many of us, has a new sense of power in it. As we're going to continue to read through all the way to the end of verse 18. Here's what it says. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body has been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round, saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned round towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the good news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he said these things to her. We see in this moment Jesus raised to life again. And what must return to Mary is that sense of hope, from despair moving to hope. And for her, not only is this a moment where Jesus actually fulfills everything that he's already been saying. He's already said, "Hey, I'm going to have to die, but I will be back." And come flooding back to Mary is, oh my goodness, I can trust you. You're a firm foundation. And not only that, we then flick back earlier into the Gospel of John, and we see those words that lots of us are very familiar with. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. And in this moment of Jesus being raised to life again, we see the hope. Me, you, now, Mary could hope for that future of eternal life, a life where there's no more hurt and pain and suffering, but one filled with joy and peace, love in perfect unity with the Father there in heaven. For me, for you, our future, our eternity is sorted and sealed in Jesus conquering death and being raised to life again. The sting of death is no more. Actually, for you and me, here now, Jesus raised to life again is hope for me and you that there is life eternal. That there is an end point, there is an end game where everything is put right and we're made whole again. But not only is this a sign of something in the future, it's also a sign of hope in the reality now. And even now, what Jesus being raised to life again means is that his ministry continues. The same power that raised Jesus from dead is alive in us. That we can see the things that Jesus talked about and Jesus did. We can see amazing healings just a few weeks ago. Being able to pray for people here and seeing miraculous healings. We can experience peace in times of trouble. We can know God with us now here, God with you now here, who doesn't shy away from the difficult things of life, but wants to journey with you wherever you want to go. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us here. Move from despair to hope. The second one is from death to life. And if we jump back into John 20, there's this whole scene that we've read about. You could almost see it directly mirrored another scene in the Bible of a woman in the garden. And that scene that's mirrored that we can jump back to is right back at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. Except in the Garden of Eden, the woman eats the fruit that brings death. That actually brings the entrance of sin into our world. And even now, we experience what that feels like. We look, as we've just been doing now, praying for our world. We see a world that is broken. We see things that aren't right, that are unjust. We see heartache, hurting. We see even a planet, our creation, groaning with climate change, with the injustice that spill out from that. Even if you look deep into yourself, we know that there's brokenness in there. Like, we know that there's heartache and trouble. We know that we do things to other people that just aren't great. We know that other people do stuff to us that aren't great. We feel that sense of brokenness that spins all the way back to the garden. But here in this story, this garden scene, we see it bring life. And there's this beautiful interaction between Mary and Jesus. Jesus saying, "Woman, why are you crying?" And then he calls her by her name. Mary, it's me, Jesus. The invitation at the beginning of new life for Mary, for me, for you, is a God that doesn't say, "I am the God of all creation, bow down to me." It's a God that calls you by your name, that looks to me and goes, "Matt, it's me." New life begins now. For you, for me, for these guys that just got baptized, it's new life beginning. It begins with a deep relationship with Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you know that he wants to call you by name, to speak to you directly, to say your name? And his beautiful response from Mary is Rabboni, which this translation says teacher, but other translations will say, dearly loved teacher, beloved teacher. There's this tight, intimate relationship that's going there of Jesus revealing himself to Mary. And Mary knowing exactly who he is. For these guys that have just been baptized, that's their story. They met Jesus. Their life has been completely changed. That same invitation, death to life, new life, is open for all of us too. I want to come to a close now this Easter. And whether you feel far away from God or whether you feel really close to him, I want to pray that you, this Easter time, know the hope that comes from believing in Jesus. That you know the hope of eternal life. That you know the hope that can be felt and tasted in little bits here in Bristol, here even in church right now. And I want to pray that you know the life, the new creation that's put in you when we put our faith in Jesus. That you would know the fullness of the love of God. So I'm going to pray for us now and then hand back to Dave. Father God, thank you that we can celebrate Easter, that we can say that you have risen from death, you have conquered death, that you bring hope and life and love to all of us here. I thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross, that you took our sin, our wrongdoing, you took the sin and wrongdoing of other people around us as well, and you said, it is finished. And Jesus, as we want to pursue you, we thank you that you welcome us with the personal words of our own name, and you call us sons and daughters. I pray that this evening we would experience a bit of your joy, your love, your peace, a bit of that acceptance and the inheritance that comes from being your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.